Hello and welcome to the Stubbs Cast. I'm back again on the Stubbs Cast, the Content Creator Hub podcast, where I talk to fellow content creators about their journey into gaming and content creation, YouTube, podcasting. I would even interview developers if they would have me, but it's all fun because what the premise of the show is, if you haven't heard it before, it's a lot of time people get out of it and they learn a lot about the creator, or they learn something that helps them going forwards. That's kind of the goal of the show. And people seem to like the show so far, 43 shows in. So thanks for all the support. And if you like a great graphic picture, like a logo, like I've got on screen now, or the Stubbscast overlay, please check out the Graphic God, www.xboxgamerpix.com, and the Graphic God will sort you out. This week, I have got Lady Foxfire on. How are you doing, Fox?
I'm doing okay. feeling much better now that we're talking, because, you know, I told you that I'm going to be low energy since I had a headache out of nowhere. But I'm actually starting to feel better now that we had a little small chat before we went live. And I'm really excited. Yeah. I'm really excited to be here. You're a busy man. You're doing videos back to back. You do shorts. You're a family man. You're always in the chats supporting other podcasts. So I'm excited to chat with you about, whatever you're going to ask me. I don't know. I see everybody in the chat. Hi.
How you doing, everyone? Judzilla Music, nice to see you. HGK, yeah. Nice to see you. Misuku, who else got the chat? Indie Gamer, you put one in there at 05, yep, at R5, earlier on, I'm sure he'd be in. Pixel Slapper, Back from the Dead, welcome. Thanks for stopping in. I do these Stubbscasts very randomly. We've got one Monday and we've got one this Friday as well. I had one Saturday, so I do Stubbscast, and then I get consistent, and then they stop, and I go for a phase again. But I truly love
waves,
doing
guys.
Them. Yeah, they do. I truly love doing them. The interviews, more like conversations. I really do enjoy doing them. I do. Do you want to give people? Because I'm making it wrong. Do you want to give people a brief description of what kind of content you do?
Sure. I even made a little trailer channel video, and it briefly shows some of my favorite games and some of the video types that I do as well. But mainly I do gaming related topics on my channel, whether they be a bundled news amount of information, and then I give my take on it while I'm letting you know like new stuff, or whether I focus on one topic into particular and I talk specifically about a certain game or a certain gaming industry topic that's going around. I try to keep it more gaming. In the past, I've wanted to do other stuff as well, but I mainly wanted to talk about me, my gaming experience, and these gaming topics and news, and then I give my take on all of that. Mostly stuff that I like, stuff that I enjoy. I try not to focus on games that I don't play or stuff that I don't know much about. Like, I don't have almost anything about RPG or MMOs because I don't play those.
I'm the same.
Yeah. I mean, even if I mention them here and there, I don't really go into any detail. I'll just say it looks interesting and I would like to try it. Like, in the past, I've definitely mentioned Mass Effect and how I wanted to get into it, but it didn't really go anywhere, so I didn't continue that. But you can definitely find Gears of War, Battlefield, Life is Strange, Streets of Rage, Street Fighter, Retro. I do have a whole playlist just dedicated to Throwback Thursdays. So in there, you can see all the way back to like 8-bit games, all the way down to like the last one was Tomb Raider 2013. So nice. Yeah. It's old school, but it still holds up, and I enjoy those games. And I don't really do much with those videos specifically, but I do throw in some little tidbits, information that people didn't know about in written form, because I don't do commentary in those videos. I just like to listen and play the game as is. And then I'll have like little pop-ups with information, like when the game released, who made the music, or anything like that. But yeah, overall, I do a lot of gaming stuff. I even stream now. Before, I was sporadic, and I would casually stream on the YouTubes. Whether it be from Mixer or Twitch, I would bring it over to my YouTube channel. But now, I actually stream on my YouTube channel, and it's been more frequent. Yeah, I stream Halo beta on there, or the tech test. And Back for Blood. This is really, really fun. We're probably going to play that again that tonight if you guys want to see that. But yeah, I love talking about games forever. I've been wanting to do this since like the 360 days. I've been wanting to have a YouTube channel and share my thoughts.
No, excellent, excellent overview of your channel. If you haven't subscribed and checked out Fox's content, because I know you prefer to be called Fox and people to keep going Lady Foxfire.
Yeah, it's pretty correct? Long, like I don't mind when people are like, oh hi Lady Fox. I don't mind it at all, but if we're definitely doing a podcast and we're in mid discussion, I would just say, hey, call me Fox or Foxy. It's fast. I know exactly that you're talking to me, so we get right to the point of it. So when people say like the whole thing, I just kind of chuckle a little bit. It's nice.
It is. But yeah, it's good to have you on. I wasn't sure whether you, because believe it or not, this is exclusive, everyone. Lady Foxfire is the first lady content creator I've had on the show.
Oh, wow.
You are.
Even from before when you used to do these, I thought you definitely had.
No, on midweek gaming, I've had you on, and I've had what's the name? I'm just trying to think of a name. Oh no!
Leave it alone. Don't embarrass.
Not on the Stubbscast. I can't think, but on the Stubbscast, you definitely the first lady I've had on the show.
Oh, honored. This is awesome. Yeah. I know so many other great female gamers. If you want, to slide in their DMs or anything like that, let me know.
That sounds bad.
I said it like that on purpose. But yeah, I could definitely introduce you to other female gamers that would be great on the show. But yeah, I appreciate everybody that's here right now talking in the chat. And I can't wait to hear what you're going to ask me.
Yeah, so obviously first, I won't get into the content creation side. Just go... But when was it when you first started gaming then?
Oh, wow. You mean like when I was a tiny baby?
I don't mean a year. Just when can you remember like which like specific console did you start at gaming? I don't mean tell me what age you were when you started gaming. I mean, I presume it was when you were younger, presumably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to get into the year and stuff. I don't remember all that. But I do definitely remember that I was, it was before I was 7. So I might have been like 4 or 6. I don't remember. But the first time I touched anything gaming related was the, Nintendo. Nintendo Entertainment System. And it was... what is it called? Is it Zapper? What is it from the gun that they had on there?
I have no idea. I didn't really have Nintendo. It's more of a Sega. I was.
Everybody's cringing right now. Like she doesn't know the. Well,
no, it's fine.
The point
it's
is,
fine.
It was Nintendo, and it was Duck Hunt. Yeah. That was the Duck first Hunt. Thing I remember ever of anything video game related, and how fun that was. And how I got to interact with the television, and I was like mind blown, right? So
yeah,
right when I saw that, and then my brother was like, "Oh, you could play other stuff," and he would change the game, and I was like, "No, go back to the Duck Hunt game." But he tried to get me into Mario and RC Pro-Am and some other games that we had on Nintendo back in the day, but I would always go back to Duck Hunt. So that was like my initial like window into gaming. And I say window because I didn't understand it, right? I
yeah.
I didn't know what to do except for playing that game. And then from there, like probably within the same year or two, my grandfather had an Atari in his workshop. So I played Pong. And that was another interactive game for me that I was like, oh, I'm moving this and this is happening on the screen. So again, I was amazed. Another window to gaming. But the real thing that actually got me and took a hold of me and made me become a gamer per se, opened that door and made me want to continue and pursue other games and other platforms was the Sega Genesis with Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Yes, Sega. That's what I like to hear.
I saw Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on the Sega, I was like, this is it. This is what I love. I want more video games like this. That's when I became a gamer.
Nice. I mean, it's interesting you said Sonic 2. Most people say the first Sonic. That's interesting.
Oh, really?
That one.
Yeah, I didn't play the first one right away. I played it later on.
Oh, okay.
It was so 2, then 3, then Knuckles, and everything else like that.
Yeah, I like Sonic, I do. I still play the first one. I've got a Mega Drive still. not the same console. I've got rebought one.
You don't want to know how many times I have Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I have it on multiple platforms. I have it physically, not physically. I have it digitally. I have it on a plug and play. I have it on. I have it like on so many different ways. I can get back into it. I even have the Genesis Model 2 with the game.
Nice. I have Sega Mega Drive Mark 2, the one everyone talks about, the Mark 2 one. But I have the problem. Well, I have a cart and it's got every game ever made on it. I have. I don't feel bad. They've made their money now.
Yeah, they've taken all our money.
Yeah, but nice. Sega is a good console. Really. Did you ever have this Sega? They probably call it Sega CD over there. Sega Mega CD. It was like you had your Sega on top, but it was like a disc drive at the bottom, and you played CD-ROM games on it.
I've definitely seen it, but I've never had that. I didn't get into CD games at all until PlayStation 1. I missed out on the, what was it? Saturn, I believe, had a CD, and Dreamcast had the CD, right?
Oh, Dreamcast.
Yeah, I missed out on.
I never had one, but.
Yeah, I played it at my friends' houses, right? Friends in school. Nice. And I've played certain games that they actually put into the arcade, like Crazy Taxi. I played that in the arcade first, and then I played it in a console, but it wasn't my console.
Fair enough. I mean, I never actually had a Sega Dreamcast. It was more, a lot of it, that was more through my uncle, but I still remember the first time I ever done online gaming, and people still don't credit the Sega Dreamcast, but they were actually the first ones to do online gaming. They were through the and a lot of people don't credit them, and they were before Xbox and all that. They were but a lot of people don't bring it up.
Yeah, they were
the first ones, and then
they
everyone went to PlayStation.
That Dreamcast was before its time. It was it was doing the most before we even knew what the heck it was happening.
It was. Yeah, the Dreamcast was good. Let's do a few shout-outs. A few more people came in. Welcome to Fastback. How you doing? And where we go? ACS Husk. And I recognise this name from when I've lost the name now. There you go. Hunter the Tailed Corgi.
Beautiful.
I'm sure that's... Yeah.
Yep.
Welcome. Thanks. I think I've seen you when Lady Foxfire was on Midweek Gaming. I do remember. I do. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Thanks for stopping in. But yeah, so were you a big PlayStation 1 fan then, as you previously mentioned before?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I really got into the exclusive too much, but I did definitely play on there a lot. I was
Spyro the Dragon, all sorts there was.
Loads. I play Tony Hawk a lot.
Yes, that's a very
Tony
good
Hawk 1, 2, 3. I've played all of those. I played, oh my God. What was it? Oh my God, the name. It's lost. Siphon Filter. There it is.
I've never
Twisted
played
Metal.
That.
Oh, good Twisted memories. Metal. I love Twisted Metal.
Do you ever think they'd bring it back? Do you reckon?
No, because they tried. They tried on the PS3 and it didn't work out because they had online gaming and everything. It was pretty bad. It was like mad glitchy and I think I wasn't balanced very well. But it didn't really take off. But it was amazing in the PlayStation 1 era. It was like Twisted Metal 1, 2, 3. 3 was my favorite. And then I tried 4 and I went back to 3 because I just loved it so much. And I knew the maps and I knew the cars and I knew where all the weapon pickups were. And me and my brothers would just split screen all the time over and over and over. And my mom was like, aren't you guys sick of that game? And we're like, no.
That's good.
So we played Twisted Metal. We played Tony Hawk. Yeah. We played Siphon Filter. Nice. I'm pretty sure we had Spyro or Crash at one point or another.
Oh,
but we weren't
forgot about Crash. Yes.
Yeah,
Crash
we weren't Bandicoot. Addicted to those. We just played them casually.
Yeah, so many great games, of course. And
I
even
had
the
Street Fighter 2 on there because they did like a remastered version for the PlayStation. And I played that one on the Genesis, but then they did it again for the PlayStation. And to this day, I still have those games. Like, we still played it over and over and over, even if we played it on the Genesis. We played it on the PlayStation as well.
Oh, I didn't know it was actually... I didn't know it was on there. I didn't...
Yeah, it's probably like an anniversary edition or something. I can't recall.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Then there was the PS... Did you get the PS2 as well?
Oh, yeah, that was...
Plenty of Tony Hawk on there. Tony Hawk's Underground Skater. Yeah,
They had Tony Hawk 3 as well because like it was in between 1 and 2, so they launched it on both systems. So yeah, I had Tony Hawk 4 on there for sure. I played that one a lot, and then obviously Grand Theft Auto.
Yes,
we played the hell out of those games as well. Even though my older brother had Xbox at that point, and we tried Halo and some other games, my preferred platform was PS2, definitely.
It was a good generation of gaming. PS2 was because back then there was a massive developers weren't scared to take risks. There was tons of variety. There is variety now, but back then that was the ultimate console for variety of styles of games. Games devs, they weren't terrified to try different things. Because people, it wasn't all, even though PS2 had online, it wasn't all about online like it is now. People actually played games, and there wasn't these big patches you had to wait for, or none of that business, was there?
Yeah, true. And even if they did have online, like, we didn't use that. Like, I didn't really get into online anything until PSP and 360, honestly, because I was doing couch co-op with my brothers. It was me and 3 of my brothers. So, you know, we were set. We didn't need nobody else. Even if we played with friends or like family members, like cousins, we had each other to always like keep ourselves busy. Whether I was learning how to play Halo split screen and my brother was like, hey, run around and I'm going to shoot you. Like that was how I got introduced to first person. Besides like Doom a little bit. But I was not good on the computer at all. So it was mostly Halo. And then Grand Theft Auto, like I mentioned before, we've had all those. But I didn't like the top-down version. And we tried that one.
Oh, you
were
mean
like,
the London version. Yeah, it's...
We returned it. We were like, nope, that was not for us. So we liked 3. We liked Vice City. We liked San Andreas. So we played the shit out of those all the time.
You're the first person I've said that doesn't like the London edition. They returned it.
Oh, yeah, instantly. We returned it within the same week.
Me
and my brothers.
I don't think, though. I mean, I've not got a very good memory of it, but I don't know if I ever completed it. I just loved it because I was a kid. The fact that police were chasing me on the game, I think that's what it was. It was probably the thrill. I don't know if I ever completed that game. It was so long ago.
The rush. That there's cops coming after you. That was me on Grand Theft Auto 3 on the Xbox. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And I was freaking out. And my brother's like, go hide. He didn't help me. He just let me play. And I didn't really do the story much either. I just kind of just ran around and did whatever. It was so fun.
I said for your video the other day, not really interested in it, but I guarantee it. When if I tell my wife that there's a trilogy coming out of all the original GTAs, we'll be getting it because she doesn't play games very often because the problem is she gets hooked into games, so she doesn't play them. She plays Roblox on her phone, but she's very good at GTA games. If I tell her all the original ones are coming, well, be it, remastered or whatever you want to say it is, rest up or whatever, I guarantee we'll probably get it. We will. At some point, we will. Saying that, though, isn't it in Game Pass? Isn't it in Game Pass?
Coming
to Game Pass.
Yeah, one of them is coming to Game Pass. San Andreas.
Yeah. Oh, I think now we've already got that on digital.
But that's how they get you. That's how they get you. That's their hook.
It is.
This nostalgia is going to hit you. And then you're going to be like, I kind of want to play Vice City. And you have to buy the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Because PlayStation Now is going to have Grand Theft Auto 3. That's another hook. Because from what I hear, a lot of people's favorite is Vice City. So that's the one that's not available anywhere. So you have to buy that,
Yeah, I've been trying to look for some of my games because on the Xbox Series X, you can go through your history. And I swear they've removed some games I've bought. I can't find them. Digital downloads. You know, like in your library. I swear one of my games has gone missing. I could be wrong. I wouldn't be surprised, though.
I wouldn't be surprised unless you go to the store and write it actually out. Hey, do I have this? Is this digital? And you can see if it's like delisted or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or it might let you re-download it because you've bought it before, but any new people might not be able to access it.
Perhaps. I've got one of them anyway. I'm sure I've got San Andreas. That's the one. I'm sure
San Andreas was on the 360 and it got back compat, I believe. So unless they took it out, I don't know.
That's the one I've got. I thought I bought more. I'm probably mistaken. I am. Welcome, Safu, Dragon Wolf. Thanks for stopping in. But yeah, no, some classic games there. So I would say, out of Nintendo and Sega, my guess is, based off what you were telling me, you preferred Sega.
Yes, you're correct.
Good.
He said good. Okay. I love that. Mike from NLG said the same thing.
Oh, he will. Big Sega guy. Mike's a good guy. He is.
Yeah, shout out to Next Level Gaming.
So
he was happy with that answer.
Yeah, so he definitely would be. Lord Cognito would be happy with that answer too. Big Sega guy. He would be.
But Cognito would probably be like, okay, but what games did you play?
Oh, yeah, like, he'd probably go. He'd go in depth for you.
Yeah.
Like, what games did you play?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, a question I wanted to ask you. So, obviously, you are legally blind, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. What's it like gaming? I'm not trying to be ignorant. I just want to know roughly what it's like for you as a gamer.
Well, okay. When I was younger, it was a lot harder. Right. Compared to now, there's so many great features out there and accessibility settings that help so much.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, it was super hard. I had to sit real close to the television to play, which made it very difficult for me to play a Duck Hunt, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Duck Hunt up close to the television. Oh, yes. But it was really difficult growing up. It helped when we had like larger televisions a lot, but when we had smaller televisions in certain aspects, it would be very difficult, especially doing couch co-op with my brothers. I would have to sit closer to, to the screen than them. Smaller screens would be harder for us to play together. unless they sit up close with me or anything like that. But yeah, it was definitely difficult growing up with that as a disadvantage or anything like that. Even though I didn't see it that way, I just kind of was like, I'm like everybody else. I can play too. I just have to learn like the controllers, or I just have to memorize certain things in the game, right? Things that they can see better than me. Like if they saw a weapon and off in the distance and I couldn't, you know, that was a disadvantage. But eventually learning the map, learning the game, learning all these things. And if I had more hours in the games than them, then I felt like I was on par. I felt like we were equals, you know?
Yes, but I do know. Yeah, that's good.
It was tough when I was younger because I didn't understand why I was different or why their eyesight was better or anything like that. But as I got older, it just became part of my life. It became part of me. And I still loved gaming. I didn't feel like I had a disadvantage or anything like that. So I just loved it so much, and it helped me so much to the point where it was it just made me really happy. Like I can play video games like everybody else. I could play in the arcade, and we were up close to the, you know, the cabinet and everything.
Yeah,
it was just fun. I didn't feel any different than, like, I guess when we compared to playing outside, you know, those days where we were outside playing ball or skating or anything like that. Those were a lot harder for me. You can clearly see a difference, especially if you're playing games like a baseball or something like that, and the ball's coming at you. Or when I tried to play tennis, like those things were a lot difficult. But for video games, I feel like I was at home. I felt like it was perfect for me, you know?
That's nice. That is.
So video games are a big highlight in my life because I felt like I can do that just as well as anyone else, or if not better, as I got older and I got a little cockier and I was like, I'm better at shooters than my brother, so I'm going to kick their butts, know, like that. Yeah. But when it came to other stuff like board games, those things are harder for me, like reading the cards or seeing the board properly. Those things, it was never very good with those things. So definitely had its advantage at that. So that's why video games definitely is a big part of my life now still.
Yeah, no, that's a really good perspective. I mean, is it easier now due to the fact that you've learned that way, or is it the fact that games are more colourful now? Is that a difference, or is it just the fact that you've learned to game that way? Do you still have to go as close, or are the screens much more? Well, the screens are a lot better now, aren't they? They're much brighter. Well,
it's a mixture of all those things actually. Because like when I was younger, I had to find a way around it. I had to get closer because, you know, you're reading text in the game, characters.
Yeah.
Some characters talk, other characters don't. When they don't talk, that's a disadvantage for me. I have to get closer. I have to read it. I have to figure out what I have to do, right?
Yeah.
So the game's gotten better, they have more accessibility. They have more settings. They have font sizes that become larger. They have characters or actors reading out a lot of stuff nowadays than they did back in the day. Things have gotten a lot better, but I think that it helps because I started when games were a little bit tougher, when games didn't have all those settings. So I found a way around it regardless, and I played because of that passion that I had. I figured it out, you know? So I didn't feel like gaming was bad before. No, because I loved it just then as I did, and I love it now. It's just very helpful and a little bit less stressful playing games now because I have all these accessibility settings and I can make the font larger. And yes, certain colors do pop on the screen and help me see things better. I like when stuff is color-coded, definitely, because it stands out. I could be like, oh, I'm just going to press blue. I know that's X, right? If I'm playing on Xbox. So certain things like that are very helpful. So I don't have to squint or anything like that. Games are looking a lot sharper nowadays than they ever did before.
Yeah.
So definitely playing, 1080 or higher, definitely I can see that a lot better. It helps when the games are 60 or higher in frame rates.
Okay.
They help my eyes. Like, it's a lot smoother. Like, I hate when games have like frame rate drop or screen tearing. I notice those things. If it happens a lot, I don't like it. Like, okay. I guess one of the games I can think of would be Warframe. Yeah. It has a lot of drop frames in consoles, and I don't like that. It bothers me. But I can push through it if I'm only playing for a little bit at a time, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's a good view on that. That is. It's interesting because obviously you can obviously tell more than me, because when someone says about frames drops and screen tearing, a lot of the time everyone thinks, oh, my podcast or I do YouTube. A lot of the time, obviously, I understand what frames dropping means, but I often don't notice it. Or when people go, it's screen tearing, I'm like, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, some games you could tell more often than others.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if it's a fast-paced thing, you're not going to probably even tell, because everything is, like, you're just running around. Let's just say COD or something. You're running around. Everything's moving fast. You're just focusing on killing the bad guy or winning or capturing the point, right? So you're not worried about that. But when you're playing a more calm and chill game, where it's mostly graphic intensive, or when you're trying to focus on a puzzle, like, let's just say Tomb Raider, you would notice those details a little bit more, because there's nothing crazy happening. You're literally looking at the beautiful view. And if you are like, okay, where do I go next? Okay, I got to solve this puzzle or anything like that. You do notice certain things.
No, that's not, that's good to hear. It's thanks for giving me that perspective. I've learned quite a bit from that, because it's just an interesting perspective how the accessibility is much better now, obviously, and they keep improving by the day. They keep coming up with new features. It's excellent. It is.
Yeah, I love it. It's on all the platforms that I know of. Obviously, PC had the most settings out of everyone forever now. You could customize the crap out of it. But I'm not used to using PC so much until like recently.
Okay.
For gaming specifically, I mean. I got my Switch. I have large font on the menu. I can see everything. PlayStation 4, font. They have that as well.
Very good.
Yeah, Xbox, large font, and like dark theme and stuff like that as well. It helps a lot. And I can see everything that I'm going to. That tiles are big enough. Like, I like that a lot.
Oh, that's really good to hear. That is good. Doom Reaper, welcome. Thanks for stopping in. Pong Soul, good to see you, mate. Good to see you.
He's a rock Glint, star.
Welcome. What console do I play? I play Xbox Series X, but I've also got a PlayStation as well. Do you answer that, Foxy?
I have. Yeah, I play on the Xbox One X at the moment, and sometimes PlayStation 4. And Switch. That's where like console stuff that I play on.
That's cool. Welcome to the indie gamers in the house. Well, welcome. Indie's here now.
Indie's a busy man now.
Indie is a very busy guy. He is a very busy guy. So you touched on, you went to the arcades. Did you have any favorite games when you went to the arcades with your brothers that you used to like to go and play?
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, man. So many great games. Okay. Off the bat, first one that popped into my head was Crazy Taxi, like I mentioned before.
Yeah, nice. That was a good game.
Yeah, I would wait in line to play that. But with my brothers, like Versus, we would play Mortal Kombat,
nice.
Tekken. Together we would play like TMNT, that it was a beat 'em up.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we would play that together. What else?
Sounds good.
We played probably The Simpsons, and that one was very similar. It was probably a beat 'em up. So those are the ones that definitely stick out to me. Maybe OutRun? I believe that one was on the arcades as well.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Those are the ones that are popping in my head. But yeah, I played so many things. Like, I've definitely played Pac-Man. I've definitely played Tron. I've definitely played Space Invaders. Like, I played a lot of stuff in the arcade, definitely. and some of those in the consoles as well.
That's good to hear. There's loads in chat. You've brought the masses with you, Foxy. You have brought the masses. Welcome, VJ. Thanks for stopping. And UK Dazarus. Yeah, he doesn't go bed late.
What? Dazzy
I
baby.
Never thought I'd stay up for Stubbs. Would keep me up. Oh, good Daz you are. So
I have to hear what Daz thinks of Forza.
He's been playing it. He has.
He's been streaming it. I have definitely missed that.
He's on Twitch. He streams it on Twitch.
I know. I've seen him playing Hot Wheels. That was super cute and fun, and like it made me feel like playing Forza Horizon 3 DLC from Hot Wheels. Do you remember that? I love that DLC.
I never actually played that DLC. Oh, I heard about that. I heard about it, the DLC.
I played that more than the base game.
Really?
That's how good it was.
Well, I know Indie Gamer and Daz and that always told me about that DLC. Loads of people raved about it.
Yes.
So it must have been good.
If it wasn't for Forza, I don't think we would have a Hot Wheels game like that.
That's probably it, yeah.
I'm serious. It's like spot on. It looks really good. And I do want to get it, but I saw Daz playing it a lot, and I haven't jumped back into his Twitch. Sorry, Dazzy. So I want to see him play Forza, though.
Nah, he's good. He really is. He's to be fair to you, Daz, you've done really well. You had a heart attack. You've made a really good comeback. You walk in, you're doing well. And you've learned how to play with a controller one-handed. It's incredible. It really is.
You know who else does one-handed gaming?
Yes, Graphic God. He's told me the story on the Stubbscast.
He actually shared
the story of what happened, because it was like at the time. He said, "Don't think I've mentioned it on any podcast," because he said, "I didn't think anyone was interested." So if anyone wants to know that, it's on the Graphic God Stubbscast on the channel. Stroke. I did say a stroke. Not heart attack, LOL. Who's saying that? So, yes. So, you know, before you got into content creation, was there any videos or like podcasts or any stuff you listened beforehand? Before you jumped into it and started to say, "Oh, I want to get into this."
Well, yeah, the only person I can think of right now, and I feel bad for saying it because there's so many great content creators out there, even in this room, would be Dex Bonus. She used to do sit down streams where she would talk to the chat or talk about her day. She would also do gaming news. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't even know what Life is Strange was. She also did streams randomly. Like, she would do some on YouTube, and then she switched over to Twitch, and then she would do a lot of Twitch. And then some of those videos would come over back to YouTube and, you know, short form. So I would say that's who I watched a lot in the beginning before I even started getting into my own content creator. But I did want to. I just didn't know how to go about it or what to do. So, yeah, Dex Bonus was definitely a big part of that. She still does content to this day. I still watch it now and then.
I'm going to have to lock her up because I've never heard of her.
She's super popular on Twitch now. But back in the day, she did a lot of YouTube stuff.
I'll just interrupt there. Sorry, Daz, apparently, I said Daz had a heart attack. Oh, I don't know why that came out of my mouth. Daz had a stroke. Sorry about that. Everyone, I actually thought I said stroke, and for some reason, heart attack came out of my mouth. So I apologize, Daz. Sorry about that. Sorry. Carry on, Fox. I made a mistake there. Bit of a blunder.
No, it's okay.
I don't know why I said that.
I would have corrected you, but I was like, you said it so fast. Everything happened so fast. I didn't even notice.
Oh, no.
That's okay. But yeah, Daz is awesome, and he's doing 100% now, almost, I would think. So strong. But yeah, I watched a lot of different YouTube people, a lot of streams, a lot of randomness. I kind of started doing some podcasting stuff like here and there when I wanted to learn more about the Xbox One, per se.
Okay.
And I was getting back into like the Xbox itself, because I didn't jump into the Xbox One right away. I stayed on the 360 for as long as I could.
And a lot of people did. They dragged their feet. A lot of people did.
Well, a lot of the people that I was watching at the time started switching to PlayStation because it was like what, just $100 cheaper at the time?
Yeah, it was.
So, yeah. I was like, oh, I'm going to wait. I have no reason to get on the PlayStation, really. I mean, I was still playing Destiny on the 360 and the PS3 at the time. So I was juggling like six characters. it was pretty bad. But yeah, I watched a lot of people and I watched a lot of content creators making videos talking about the Xbox One or what games they had. So I knew what games I wanted to get into, but I didn't jump in until like 2015. That's actually, when I jumped into.
You've sparked you've sparked a thought there. I watched one of your videos the other day, and I think it was you giving your thoughts in 2016 on what games to play next year. And We Happy Few came up. And that only recently came out in the past couple of years, didn't it?
Yeah. It was like, what, 2017 maybe it came out? 2018?
We Happy Few only came out in the last 2 years, didn't it?
No, it came out before that.
Oh, sorry. Was that when it was put into Game Pass?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they put it into Game Pass a few years ago, like one or two years ago. But it came out a little while ago, and I remember being really excited for it because when they showed it off at E3, yeah. I was like, oh, BioShock. Like, oh my God, that looks so fun. That's interesting and creepy. So I was really intrigued.
Yeah.
Oh, not only that. It was in game preview before it even came out. So I was probably talking about it before the game was even ready, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a good video, that was.
Yeah.
I went for a lot of the old ones. I mean, you probably wouldn't thank me for it because a lot of people don't like their older videos, they don't.
I mean, they're okay. Like they're up there for a reason, right? So like if I didn't like them at all, I would delete them because I did have some content on my channel before the stuff that you saw, and I deleted those, or I put them private, right? So those I'm not too proud of. But the ones that are there now, if it wasn't for those, I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't have the audience that I have now. I wouldn't never been asked to jump on a podcast back in 2016 out of the blue.
Oh, wow.
So that's how long I've been doing that.
Which podcast was this out of interest?
Console Corner.
I've heard of this one. I have.
Yeah.
Console Corner. A lot of people have been on this show that I know.
Yeah. That was my first. And then from there, it was different shows here and there. But I always kept, like, I actually became a member on that one after a guest. Doing a guest appearance over and over. Then I actually became a member on that one for a couple of years.
Ah, that's really nice, that is. Have you never thought about doing your own kind of podcast? No, it's not your kind of thing, is it not?
Yes and no. I've thought about it, but my experience with podcasting has been like a little roller coaster on its own, and I don't know if I want to go along in that ride in my channel, because after I did Console Corner with one specific member on there, her name is She Wolf, or her gamer tag is She Wolf. She doesn't really. She's not in the community anymore, and she doesn't play much from what I know. So after Console Corner and everything went up and down in its roller coaster, I did a separate podcast with her specifically on Mixer, and it was called Gaming Den. And it was just me and her talking about news that isn't so popular, right? So everybody in the podcast scene or YouTube videos would have all these things they want to talk about. So we would talk about the smaller things that not that many people were talking about.
That's good.
And the smaller games, like the indie games that not that many people were talking about. And sometimes we would do quizzes or anything like that, interact with the chat. And then after that video was live on Mixer, I would grab that and I would put that on my channel. So that's actually on my channel, like that whole series is on my channel.
But I'll have to go and find that.
It didn't last long, but I do appreciate it. It was really fun. We got to interview Paul from Madfellow Games, who made the game Arrow. And I'm still friends with him on Twitter to this day. I can't wait for Arrow 2, which he's working on. he's definitely thrown a couple codes our way to give away or for like our friends and stuff like that. And he's really awesome. So like, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have met Paul. And a lot of the people that's actually followed me from that podcast on Mixer over to my channel as well. So everything I've done has helped me so much, and I've learned so much, and people have supported me. So I like it to the point where it's still on the channel somewhere. You could find Console Corner stuff. You could find Gaming Den stuff, you know, but I don't know if I'm ready to do my own podcast, because then I would have to feel like I want to find the right panel members, or what if I don't host it like everyone else? So it's, I feel like it would be a lot of pressure.
It can be a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of commitment doing a podcast or weekly podcast.
Right.
Many people just think it's easy. It's not.
It's not easy. You got to have the right flow. You got to have the right people. You have to have the right energy. You have to have the right topics. I know a lot of work goes into it because of so many podcasts that I've done guest appearance on. So I know how much work it takes, especially if you want it to look nice and unique and not like other podcasts, you know? So everything takes work. And my main priority right now is my channel and my content on my videos. So I'm still growing. I'm still learning. So I'm not ready for my own podcast just yet.
Oh, that's fair enough. That is. You don't have to do one. Yeah. Many people, but a lot of gaming content creators don't do podcasts at all. They just will focus on videos. And that's, in essence, what drives... pushes your subscribers and views and watch time up in reality. I mean, podcast does push your watch time up, etc. But videos will make your channel grow more than a podcast will. That's my opinion on it anyway. It is.
Yeah, everything in due time. Like, as I grow, as I learn, as I'm actually doing my own scheduled content, then I could actually work on a different content in the future. I'm not saying never, but there's so many people that have asked me, and that's why I felt that pressure. Because I've done so many guest appearances, people are like, hey, when are you going to do your own? You know?
Yeah, so. It's a hard one, because especially now, like especially on YouTube and podcasts in general, it's oversaturated. There's tons and tons of podcasts. There is. You've got to try and stand out and be unique. And it's quite difficult to become unique. It is in the podcast space, because there's just so many of them.
Yeah. And like, not only that, you got to have the panel members if you want to have a discussion, right? And not just like, hey, listen to me as I podcast, which I know there's people out there that just do, you know, one or two podcasters in one show, but sometimes it is better to have a conversation, right? So you have a little panel, you guys go back and forth, you have different opinions. I love listening to that. So you got to have the right people with the time on top of that. So you never know.
Exactly. You are right. Indie Gamer agrees. Yeah, podcasts are great to hang out with your existing community, but videos have more reach. And he's right. That's why I want to start trying to make videos more often. I say this all the time, I never do, but I'm going to actually try to.
Oh, yeah. You've definitely mentioned that to me a couple of times, and I know you want to work on that. And it lets you be more creative when you could do your own videos, when you can do your own thing. You have the time to edit, do your voiceover, put whatever music you want, do whatever thumbnail you want. You get to put all your, like, creativeness into that, rather than sometimes podcasts are a little bit more chill and you're hanging out. You don't have to do too much unless you are doing the most and standing out and have like gameplay in the background and the chat going. I mean, I know it's a lot sometimes in certain podcasts, but ultimately I just want to listen to a great conversation. I don't care about the video and the chat and everything happening sometimes.
I don't often. There's certain podcasts that do video really well with podcasts, like videos really well. I would say podcasts that let you watch what you're actually talking about. You're looking at the Indie Games podcast and Next Level Gaming podcast. They do very good video-based podcasts as well. They do. But a lot of them, a lot of other podcasts, you could just listen to in your earphones. You don't need to. You don't need to watch the show as such. Just listen. You can. Yeah. You can. But what kind of, when you first started out 5 years ago making content, what kind of software and like microphones did you use? Was it quite bare bones basic to start with?
Oh my god, it was baby status. I was on my phone. Making videios. I was using video editing apps. I was grabbing all my game clips from the OneDrive on the Xbox. Like I would throw them into the cloud. Every time I would like, oh my god, I love that clip, or I want to talk about this game specifically. Let me throw all these clips into the cloud. And then I would grab them with my phone, download them into my phone, edit them on an app, do the voiceover while the video was playing in the background, and then put it all together, like do a little couple little things here and there in the beginning and the end, whatever, if I wanted to do an intro or outro. And then most of them, I think, were 720 or 1080. No 60 frames or anything like that. They were probably like 30 or something like that. And then I would upload it through the YouTube app. I did that for the longest. And then when I started doing podcasts, I would just jump on Google Hangouts with my my headset. At the time, it was probably like a Turtle Beach or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
And people were like, where are you? I'm like, I'm on my phone. And they're like, wow, you sound really nice. I was like, thanks.
Yeah, I didn't think it was on your phone, though. I could tell it was on either headset or on the phone. But it was good. You got your opinions out there. You got your videos out there.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I was I want to do this so badly, even though I don't have the right gear. I don't have a laptop at the time. Actually, I did, but it was really slow. My phone was faster than my laptop. I really wanted to get my ideas out there so badly that I found a way.
It's true, because sometimes you don't always have to have the most highest quality, especially when you start. It's just actually trying it to start with. It's getting out there and trying it. It is.
Yeah, and it was from what I heard from my friends at the time that we were doing Console Corner. It was my opinions that grabbed them, obviously, like the video, but like they were like, oh, that's cool that you're playing like Halo or Battlefield or Tomb Raider on the game, on the video, but we liked what you were saying. So can you get on the show and share your thoughts? Yeah, I was super shy. I was super shy though.
Well, no, they're very good opinions. I mean, it's like you knew a lot of your videos I've listened to recently that you have very good takes on things. Because when you make videos now, because you use a computer now, don't you, to make your videos?
Yes. Yes.
Do you like chop them up in like Audacity, or do you just do them in one run? It's like more of a opinion. Like you just go in one go, or do you give it a few goes and chop it up a bit, or is it like raw and uncut, or is it quite edited on the audio side?
It was so raw and uncut forever. Like whenever I would record on my phone, I would just go, right? I did not edit anything because of the way that the app worked. I just had to press record and go. There was no editing on the audio side, only on the video side, because it was a video editor. So they were just saying, here, additionally, you could add your audio. So that's what I did. I practiced so much on getting one take, because if I messed up, I would have to start all over, you know? So I practiced so much. Even if my words aren't perfect, I tried to express myself as best as possible, to the point where I was like, okay, this is good enough. I got my point across, right? That I practice one go, run on cut. Nowadays, when I do record my audio, I barely edit much, except for dead air in between. If I'm thinking and I actually stop and I'm like, oh, okay, it was Battlefield 4 or whatever, you know? Then I would just cut the dead air. I would clean up the audio. So there's not really much that I do. I don't add any additional audio. I don't delete much. Except for tiny mistakes that it's all that practice that I had for all those years, editing on my phone and having minimal settings and editing for audio features on there that helped me do what I do now on my videos. So I barely do that much.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. Do you, what kind of software do you use now?
Well, I use Audacity for... Audacity. Yeah, for... Hold on. I'm going to look for other stuff. But I do have Adobe now, so I'm learning how to use
that. Wow, nice. You must have a good computer as well to go with it. Adobe. You can run that.
Yeah, my partner.
My computer would die if I tried to use a program like that. I haven't got a very good one yet.
Yeah, my Surface Go would die as well. But my partner has an awesome computer here that I've been using lately, so I got the hookup.
that's definitely good, that is.
Yeah, so I use Audacity for the audio, and then I'm learning Adobe for video editing. So I'm starting off small, but now I only have Nautica app, video editing app, on here. So I'm still like using my tried and true apps to video edit, but I am learning I'm learning new things. So you know, everything has to be upgraded little by little. And I started with the audio, obviously, because people go on my videos to listen to me. So I have to have a good mic. I got a mic set up. I got a nice headset so I could listen to what I'm doing. And then now I'm just going to work on the video stuff.
That's good to hear. That is very good to hear. Welcome, Crispy Bomb and Smitty Smith. Thanks for stopping in. Yeah, I've noticed you posted a few pictures over the past few weeks or months. You have of your new upgrades, your new microphones, your new headphones.
Yeah, I got an audio interface. I didn't have that before. I mean, I used to use my headset and I used to use a phone. Then I upgraded to the Surface Go and I would still use my headset. So now I have new microphone with the arm mount and everything.
Oh, you got that, are you?
Yeah,
nice.
So everything little by little being upgraded, definitely worth it. I can hear the difference.
Well, I can hear and see the difference. The audio quality, when you announced it and you said the audio quality definitely bumped up, you can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah, from the last video that I did with the headset to the first time I used this mic, right? You hear a big difference. And then after that, I started tweaking like the audio settings. So I was like, oh, I learned a lot recently, especially in the last 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Indie Gamer says definitely better for sure. But yes, you are right. The it's still a learning part. I suppose you're always learning how to get something slightly better. It's a thing I've got to work on when I do my videos is the audio, because you can do a lot. You can with editing.
Yeah. But when it comes to tech, you're always learning something new.
You are. That's true. It is. But it's good you made some upgrades. You have. It all helps. And you've made, I presume, did you make your lovely new banner?
The banner? Oh, no, I've had that one for a while. I'm actually looking forward to working on a new one recently. But my new logo, one. My okay. banner, I've had that for a couple years now. Tried and true. Like, I have no reason to change them because they look good.
They're very good.
They're nice.
I don't often look at people.
And...
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, sorry. I don't often look at everyone's banners. You see, I looked at the day, well, that looks new, and it's my stupidness. Sorry.
No, it's fine. She-Wolf and Manny Tattoo, they worked on my stuff, like my Fox logo or my banners or anything like that. But that was like, what, 2016, 2017. So nice. I've been rocking it for a while. Yeah. I can't wait to upgrade and have something similar and better and, you know, refresh everything.
That's good. But I will say, chat, and with this overlay, Lady Foxfire's logo looks very good with this overlay. I commented before the show started. It looks very nice, very fitting.
It does. It pops. I have this one. I have one with like a teal color, a pink color.
That's nice. Okay.
Yeah, I got hooked up with a couple of them. I've always wanted to do like merch or like more Fox like related logos or anything like that, but never got around to doing that stuff, especially when I like took a break in 2019.
Okay.
Everything kind of just halted.
Another question I was going to get to. How did you come up with the name Lady Foxfire?
It was from a movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was a movie back in the 90s. It was called Foxfire. And it had Angelina Jolie in it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
nice.
And it was really, really cool, and I liked it. So the movie is just called Foxfire.
Foxfire.
And it was like a group of girls, you know, trying to get by, high school life, kind of being up to no good, but also ultimately good people, just trying to get through life with the hardships. So I liked it that much. And I thought the name was super cool. This is before I even knew what Mozilla was. I didn't know what Firefox was at the time.
Oh, yeah. Now I see what you mean now. Yeah.
I had no idea that was a thing. I just thought, oh, Foxfire sounds awesome. And I used that as a gamer tag on the Xbox 360. Actually, my first gamer tag was probably, it was a Blanca Fox, which is like White Fox.
Okay.
Because Blanca is Spanish for white. So I think I used that first. It probably had a number or something on it. But then I changed it like a year right after anyway. And it was just Foxfire. And I've had that one for the longest. And then I changed it again years later. And it was just Lady Foxfire. Because I was kicking butt in Call of Duty and stuff. And the boys were extra mad. When they heard my voice, and they were like, "Are you a girl?"
Oh, you know? That crap!
And I was like, "You know what? I'm gonna make sure they knew from the get go. Not when they hear my voice, just when they get killed by me in the game. They'll know instantly."
Did they ever annoy you when you were online and kids and blokes found out you were with them? Because I spoke to Do you know Assassin Looper well? You ever spoke to Assassin Looper?
Oh, yeah. We've done a podcast together.
Yeah, she had...
I know her pretty well. I don't know her, you know, extremely, but yeah.
No. Yeah, she had loads of problems with that. She reckons at points in Forza, blokes noticed that she was a woman and they blocked her in, wouldn't let her move, and she had no end of crap and stuff like that. And it's not right. Have you experienced much of that? Hopefully you haven't.
I have.
You have?
Immature people. I'm going to say people because, you know, I don't know who's on the other side. I don't know what's happening. So immature people would do stupid things like that back in the 360 days. I think that's the most harassment I've ever had was the 360 days. Especially that was most of my online experience because people on the PSP didn't know me, right? They were just like, we were just playing a racing game together or a shooter game and that was it. Since the 360 and the headset and live lobbies and all that, especially Call of Duty was like the most toxic lobbies ever. Yeah, they were
harassed. Back in the day, goodness, back in the day, I remember the kids nowadays would they'd cry with the stuff they'd say in the lobbies. Damn.
Yeah, some stupid people out there, immature. Hopefully, they've learned and grown from then. But yeah, they would harass, they would message, they would try to bombard your messages, like your notification feed, negative stuff. They would send pictures, horrible pictures, which, you know, eventually they added the settings and stuff that you didn't have to open it. You could still like receive a Word message, but you would have to click on the video, like the picture link, but I didn't open any of those. But yeah, like Uno as well. Uno was very toxic because you could have your camera on. Believe it or not, Uno. Like the most chill fucking game. People would have camera on and just do some sus things. And you could eventually do the settings, turn the cameras off. So you didn't have to see any of that. But yeah, people would freak out once they hear your voice. And they're like, oh my God, it's a girl. They would either freak out in like a, I can't believe this. My world has been changed, or they would be like, oh, I'm going to annoy you now, you know, so you would have to mute them. And some people in the chat still hear them anyway, talking like crap about you or to you or anything like that. But
it's not good. But hopefully that got it. Hopefully that's kind of dying out now, I would hope.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's changed a lot. I've gone into lobbies now, like in-game lobbies, and talk to people, and they're like working together with me. They don't say anything about, oh my god, are you a girl?
Well, that's nice. That is just the fact that the rules are that tight now on harassment on Xbox that if you did, you'd get a ban or a suspension.
Yeah, on the 360, it's like it was the Wild Wild West in the 360 days.
Because they record
people would
everything
say horrible
now.
Things. I don't even want to repeat the things.
Oh, I agree. Anything you do on Xbox Live Party Chat now, all your messages are recorded, and all your I don't know if you know this, but all the party chats are actually recorded by Xbox. Yeah. I believe they've got some software in there that can detect certain words, etc.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's for keywords mainly.
But I think it's if someone reports you, it's not that they're sitting there watching you and you'll get banned. If you chat with your friends, I think it's if someone reports you've done something.
Right.
But I think a lot of people have grown up now since them days. They have.
Definitely.
But no, sorry to hear you had them problems.
I feel like it comes with the territory, especially when what feels like a male-oriented like a hobby, you know? You would think, honestly, if you look at the numbers now, there's probably more female gamers out there than there are male gamers, but I feel including mobile, and a lot of females don't have headset and microphone connected for the most part. So you've probably played with thousands and thousands of female gamers and you don't even know it, because they don't feel welcome enough, they don't feel confident enough to chat, they don't even want to deal with crap, so they just play the game because they play the game, you know.
No, that's really good. I didn't know there was. So I suppose when you include mobile, it would be far higher. It would, because a lot of people when they play mobile, they don't actually think that they're gaming. They just play a game, but don't actually think of it. They don't.
Yeah, but most of those games are online now, right? And there's a lot of female gamers on mobile, on consoles, on PC. I seen it. You can go on Twitch, and those are just the streamer females, right?
Oh yeah.
You could just go on Twitch and see probably more females than men.
There is. I agree. There is. But Twitch is a nice site, but it's odd. How they operate that business now is very strange.
Yeah,
it is
suspect sometimes.
It is. There is a lot of good female gamers on there that do it a credit, but there's the hot tub streamers too.
Yes, we're not talking about those.
We're definitely not. No.
Yeah.
No.
No, there's a lot of great gamers out there, all around.
There is. Yes,
all around.
There is. There is. So, have you got any advice you'd give to any new podcasters or people wanting to jump into content creation that were thinking about it? What would you tell them to do?
Oh, that's a tough question. Because I've learned so many things, and there's like so many advice that I could give, but ultimately I would just say be yourself and share your experience. Try not to talk about any topic, whether it's gaming or like geek culture or anything like that, from the business and like what you think would be factual or not, because anybody can do that and anybody can look that up. I would say try to talk about it through your experience and what you feel like it's your true opinion. So like be true to yourself rather than just, oh yeah, this other person said it, so I'm gonna say it too. There's a lot of copycats out there, they're like, I heard it in a different podcast, so I'm gonna repeat it. And it's like, that's not your opinion. And I'd rather jump on the podcast and listen to personal opinions of these gamers rather than something they heard from someone else or something they read, because I could read the same thing and get the same information, you know?
It's true. You're very right. Very right.
Yeah.
Folks, about
so
that.
I would say definitely speak on it through your experience, because that's what I try to do. Even if I am not 100% like successful sometimes, I try to do that. Ultimately, that's my goal. This is what I've experienced. This is what I played. This is how I feel about it. You know, like that.
That is good advice. I mean, there is podcasters out there that don't like... I listen to a lot of Last Dance Media stuff. I do. Lord Cognito's on there. And a lot of them on the Sacred Symbols PlayStation podcast, they don't actually listen to any other podcasts because they said that... Because it's obviously a lot of their jobs. They said that, why would I let some other podcaster influence my opinion? So that they don't listen to anything, they don't. But you're obviously right in what you say. Speak from what your own experience on what you think, not what someone else has said.
Yeah.
And it's, if you listen to loads of podcasts, sometimes, like even myself, it's your view on what you actually think can get a bit blurred because you've heard all these different 50 different angles on a topic, and you're like,
right, and it's overwhelming sometimes. I enjoy listening, but it is overwhelming sometimes where I need to take a break, and I'm like, okay, I've heard enough about Halo. I'm gonna stop listening to this topic. I'll come back to the podcast later, you know, because I don't need to hear the same opinion about Halo 16 times. I know what I played and what I'm looking forward to at the end of the day.
No, I agree with that. That's fair enough. Welcome to the I Am a Catholicism. Thanks for stopping in. I think I've spelt that right, being in the chat. But yeah, no, you are right there. It sometimes is overwhelming getting all the different opinions there is. But yeah, no, thanks for coming on tonight, Foxy. It's been great to have you on, and thanks for giving up your time to talk to me.
Of course. It's been fun,
and welcome, Prophet. I've obviously forgot to shout you out, so welcome, Prophet of Metal, who's been here for most of the show.
from
the beginning, you have. I do stuff like this, Prophet, you know. But yeah, thanks for coming on. It's been fun. I've learned a lot from your journey into gaming and content creation. It's been fun. And by the looks of the chat, they've also enjoyed it as well.
Everybody hit that like button. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Hit the like button. Can you tell people where they can find you? Also, Foxy's links are in description as well.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I had an awesome time chatting on here with you. And Midweek Gaming as well. I hope to get on there another time. I love this time zone that you're doing because it's like it works best for you and works best for me. I know that we tried to do this a couple weeks ago, but it was off because, well, we're very busy people. Life, you know?
Exactly. It's true. It is.
But I love chatting with you. This was really nice and calm, and it helped me a lot, especially the fact that I had a headache and now it's completely gone.
Yeah, she did.
So
that's really good, guys.
But yeah, I appreciate everybody that was in the chat hanging out with us and everybody that listens to this later, especially if you're coming over from my channel, definitely subscribe to Stubbsy. He puts out good content and he's going to do more stuff in the future. So I can't wait to see what you do. You can find my links in the description, like he said, and also LadyFoxfire.com for just like that simple one link. LadyFoxfire.com has links to Foxy Deals, my channel, my Twitch, Spotify playlist. I have a Spotify playlist where I just kind of like, I'm going to throw like video game songs in here. You can listen to it while you're gaming. It's so good. I haven't promoted it in forever, but yeah, I used to like share it on Twitter a lot like a couple years ago. So yeah, all that stuff, it's in the website. And I'm working on the website, like more content on there. So I might have like separate little sections for different things, whether it be video or a blog or something like that. But yeah, I did a video last time. It was a bundle news. If you guys are interested in seeing some of my thoughts on like Grand Theft Auto or anything like that, I'm probably going to do a stream or two. So yeah, check out my YouTube channel when you have a chance. If you want to talk to me, I'm on Twitter. But yeah, that should be everything.
Thanks for coming on, Fox. It was really good to have you on. If you enjoyed this show, this podcast interview with Lady Foxfire today, please do me a favor. Please subscribe, like, and share, and drop a comment on the video after. it would really help. And if you want to listen to it on download, in download form, because I know a lot of people are listening in podcast form, the podcast is on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many, many more of them, Anchor as well. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star review if you like the Stubbscast. It will really help. But thanks for tuning in, everyone. The chat's been amazing. I really appreciate you all stopping in. And once again, thanks Fox, for agreeing to do this interview.
Of course.
Conversation.
I loved it. It was nice.
All right, thanks. See you later, guys and girls.
Bye.
Bye.